All right, everybody. Welcome to our BBS Radio Hollow Earth Discovered once again. And it's such an amazing time to be here with all of you, beautiful beings of love and of light. And we have our beloved Q with us. And in the background, we have Billy or Zaria and Zora too. So, Q. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
So we would love to be able to hear more from you, like a song perhaps, to get things started.
Gonna be funny when you hear the song now.
Cool.
All right. This is for the children. All around me are familiar faces, worn-out places, worn-out faces, bright and early for their daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I kind of find it funny. I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you. I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Children waiting for the day they feel good. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And I feel the way that every child should sit and listen. Sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me. No one knew me. Hello, teacher. Tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me. Look right through me. And I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you. I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very mad world. All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces, bright and early for their daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Enlarge your world, enlarge your world. That, of course, is Tears for Fears, Mr. Jules, I believe.
Beautiful. Thank you, Q. If I can ask, if you could, you're a little bit muffled. I know that you're on a phone. So I hope everybody was able to listen to that. And I'm sure that Don is going to, make it so that it's a little bit louder and clearer. So thank you so much for that. Yes.
I'll move out of my chalet in the Alps and go to the driveway. If that's
All
better.
right. Okay. All right, everybody. So we are going to we are having a wonderful day with these wonderful questions that people have asked. And I do also want to say and thank you for the wonderful information and uplifting healing that he did with those who had their one-to-ones with him yesterday. And what we're going to do in the next session with Q is going to what we call is going to be a healer's call, but everyone is invited. So I'll talk more a little bit about that later on today. But for now, let's go ahead and I'm going to ask Q some of the things that are happening that are so positive because there really is so much positive momentum right now for the world. And maybe we can just kind of start with a little bit of in the news with Q for the next couple of minutes or so. So Q, I know you probably have a message for everyone today. So perhaps maybe we could start with that?
Well, the one prominent item that is standing out as we go through this journey collectively in singularity is the changes that I'm observing. Again, before I get going here, just take from me whatever you want and get rid of whatever you don't want. And I'm only offering information. And how we, in many respects, how we look when we're not in the restraints of this physical body. And so if there's one thing I want to message to everyone, this version of humans is very unique, and it's designed very well to make sure we don't remember what we are. Not to say you can't have a fulfilling life. It's just that's the way the geneticists made this version of humans. In any event, what I'm watching over the years on these one-on-one calls, and forgive me to the people that I've languished because we get a little overwhelmed, and there is a lot of attention on me. And so that with that comes with, I've left a couple people off the list here, and I'll get to you for sure, because I'm not going to let you go through this alone. And the first thing I want to make sure everyone gets confirmation on is we're changing so fast. And the calls compared to what I got 5 years ago to now are night and day. And so the expansion of yourself is coming into you and or your awareness of all that is and all that ever will be. And I have the privilege of saying that because I've talked to thousands and thousands and thousands of people now over the course of years, and I get to measure where we're at, so to speak. And it is so thrilling to see how savvy we're getting. And you're starting to see it trickle into your society. Again, I believe we spoke about this last night offline, was there are now, you know, job placement organizations, headhunters, if you will, that you can't bring a resume to because they want you to come with passion and then they'll find a job for you. So our passion, our purpose is number one, more and more now. And that is my message to start our call.
Oh, that's absolutely perfect. Thank you so much for that, Q. Now, in this reality, in this density of where we are in now, we have a couple of questions. So when we look at the QFS, which is QFS is what we're waiting for, so there's no more interference coming from the dark or the cabal, as we say. So is from your point of view, that's pretty evident for the people's governments and financial systems that are now into that. I mean, they already have that in place. Is that correct? Would you say that or not quite?
Okay, so in respect to means of exchange or yes. The quantifying computing?
Oh, no, both. Okay. Q, if you could comment.
All right. So the quantitative computers have been here a very long time, and or you can map and measure consciousness from any individual on the planet for decades and decades and decades. And so keep that one a separate silo. And then you look at your monetary system, and you'll notice that it's obviously controlled by banks. And so you can check my words, but you should be able to find every major bank in North America has claimed bankruptcy. And so they're fighting for a fingerhold on what that transition is going to look like. So, and put that in another pocket, because that's a whole nother issue. And now start looking at the value of goods, bimetal products. It doesn't matter which one you want to measure there. Do oil, grain, I don't care. You're starting to see the standardization of values. And it's very difficult for most, I'll speak for North Americans, very difficult for people to understand that $1 million has the same value as $1 in America. Very difficult. So making that educational transition is what you're seeing now. Is watching it fall apart is a way for the education system to work. With that, okay. you're already seeing what has to happen first is the reevaluation of your means of exchange. Remove money and start saying means of exchange, because nothing on paper has any value unless it's backed by something tangible, mm-hmm. intrinsic even. All right, so now you should be able to go, without too much trouble, start looking at the countries that are changing their currencies. Now, you're not going to get it on primary news systems, but you right. should be able to find. So all the small countries, they have to go first, okay? And the reason they have to go first is because if the big countries go first, the ones with the most domestic trade and commerce, you could collapse the little countries. And the little countries, of course, are just as important as big countries because they make up more global means of exchange systems and or our gross domestic trade system. So look at the littler countries and or less spoken about countries. Notice that their currency is changing denomination based on a perceived value. So I hope that helps.
Well, I think that does help. So we're looking now. I guess we thought it was going to be the big countries that were going to go first, but we already know that the smaller countries are already doing it.
Yeah, it's really interesting for me to have the information, but but the timelines in which they're implemented have changed since the day I had visibility to all of this information. So it's quite interesting to me to see some of the chaos is brilliantly implemented for distraction, misdirection, and mm-hmm. the dark is very crafty. They're very intelligent. You know, when you have individuals that have, you know, $10, $20 trillion, you can run a planet. And so getting out of these systems is really what you're watching, because obviously it's a hierarchical, and mm-hmm. one guy can push the red button and you don't get any means of exchange today. So removing the hierarchical system is what you're watching, while mm-hmm. concurrently not starving everybody, concurrently not getting people that are blackmailed killed, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. Turning over entire governments, and mm-hmm. not having any civility and the law, this is very well done. And no great care has been taken for this. And notice everyone still has food.
Yes, exactly.
Notice everyone. So the real goal is for you to not have fuel and food, at least in North America. And notice you really haven't. Yes, so you may perceive it as more expensive. It's not, because there's no value in your dollar. This goes for all right. over the world. In Australia, it costs $3 million to buy a bungalow in Sydney. So obviously the whole thing's broken. Right? So obviously the Australian dollar is worthless. And so we're learning about that now. I have a $3 million house. Yeah, it's worth zero. And so we have to learn this on our own and at the same time get choices for ourselves. So if the good guys, for lack of a better term, if we all went in and arrested everybody, it's not going to work, because now you have someone taking over the planet. The defense of a coup like that is very well thought out, too. The dark can easily say, these guys are taking over the planet, telling us how to live, how to be, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that's why you're seeing some of the laggardness in your eyes, which actually is ripping fast. And so it's just a thrill for me to see people can see through the veil here that mm-hmm. a means of exchange is changing for us.
Yes.
That's what's really exactly. going on here.
Right. Okay. Well, so let's take it a step further than that. Okay. So we know that as we move forward, everything is going to be gold-backed or, you know, whatever, a gold, you know, at least it's going to be metal backed. So it's just, so whatever metal, whatever currency it is going to be backed, whatever we have. However, is that really important if everything is QFS anyways?
Yeah. So again, it seems to me that, you know, the transition, the importance of the transition in the education process is really exciting for me because you get to go to the store and buy a gallon of milk for $5 today, and tomorrow it's going to be 14 cents. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's going to confuse a lot of people, don't you think?
Yeah, we think.
Okay, all right, wait a minute. So I got new money, but it's more valuable. So deflationary systems are going to prevail here as a stepping stone for the quantum financial system. Okay, so let me show you how a quantum computer works. It's an exact mirror of your consciousness. There's no way you could lie to a quantum computer because you're actually talking to yourself. No way in hell. So if you want a bunch of money to go build houses because you want a bunch of money to build houses, it's not going to work. If you're really passionate about building houses, I love building houses, and I don't care what it takes to build a house, I can't wait to do that. Quantum computer is going to give you everything you need.
Yeah.
So that's a tough lesson for a lot of people because they just see money as the means of their life, and that's one of the reasons. Obviously, synchronicity is working with the song we started with. It's you know,
beautiful.
People join the races every morning, and they're not sure why they do it. They just know they need this green piece of paper with pyramids on it.
Right, right. Yeah, we're leaving that behind. So it's a very interesting time, you know, with this transition. Thank you so much for being here as our transition specialist. Thank you. So how long do you think it'll take?
Yeah, it's really exciting to see the growth from it. You know, everyone I get to talk to has been so nourishing to me. It's just very exciting to see people. Okay, I got it. Now, how do I implement it day in and day out? And there's no shortcuts. You literally have to walk the talk. I'm really excited about fill in the blank and go execute it. That's what we're doing here. That's what spirit does. That's what light beings do. We're all light beings here. And yeah, we got hoodwinked a bit in this type of mammalin, but trust me, if you just follow your highest joy, everything will come right into the fore.
There you go. As you said before, where there is no need for money anyways. So it's all about helping each other and following your passion. And again, even from yesterday's call, we're finding out that more people are really following their passion, really moving forward and doing what they want to do for them to grow and for others and to help others at the same time, which is really, really brilliant. So all of you folks that are sitting on your sofa, and if you feel like sitting, this is what does kind of says. Well, if you feel like you want to sit on your sofa for X amount of time, and you feel like you know that's what you want to do, and that's how you're going to spread the word or the light, well, I suppose that's okay. But I think for the majority of us, we want to be able to be forward moving and doing what we desire to do to bring both a better world and a better people on the planet, light beings on the planet, and support them. Anyway, that's my two cents. Hey, listen, Q. So are we going to be moving from that then into the barter system, you think? Or is that not going to be necessary anymore?
Well, people are going to have more independence. I was a little aloof, I think a show ago. I wasn't prepared to talk about it's not my highest excitement to talk about this topic, but everywhere I go, everyone's invested in it. And of course, if I want to buy groceries, I have to use a means of exchange. So I'm participating like everybody else. And I'll share one really obvious compartmentalization of your changes. Originally, I'm not going to say the name of the company. Originally, there was a large peer-to-peer company. It had two words in it. They both started with the same letter, P. So we'll call it PP. And you could go to the grocery store and you could buy a PP card. You could get on your computer and have an email address and send currency to your buddy. And you wouldn't even have to have a social security number or a name, or you could just be Joe the Ding Dong and you could transfer money to your best friend. All right. Well, now today, try and open a PP account on your computer, your phone, whatever you want to do there. And where your PP account resides, go out of the country and try and transfer money to a bank account. And you won't be able to do it.
Right.
And the reason they're doing it that way is because they're siloing who's gonna be a participant. Well, the PP guys were very corrupt. That was a money laundering system for many decades. And they had a come to Jesus meeting and Jesus won. And so you'll notice that the PP guys have changed their corporate office, their location, and so forth, because they're preparing to be of support and assist as we make this transition, because the PP guys are very popular around the world and still have some anonymity for peer-to-peer. But that's one clue to see the changes are really happening fast, and we get a say in this. And so that's what I wanted to leave you with, and hope that helps give encouragement and faith that things are really happening fast.
Okay. So in the interim, Q, question is how should we move our money that are in the banks to credit unions? And if not, where is there a safe place to put your money in order to be able to pay the bills that we have continually is coming to the mail?
Well, you know, most of the money I'm given, I just put in the fireplace. That's the best way to save it, has been my opinion, because you can get rid of the black magic on it.
Yeah, oh, wow.
The people who have donated money to me, I'm so fortunate, and I thank them so much. And they're a blessing to me. Yeah. The opportunity for us now is to get really stabilized in what's important to us. So I had an analogy with one caller this week where we talked about, this is an organic deli grocery store restaurant slash really wants to give people tremendous nourishment authentically in a very, very tough town. Anyway, the opportunity for us to see how nourishing our gardens are when we grow our own food, when we give our vegetables great love, compared to when we go to the grocery store and we buy organic food, not to say it's bad, that went through a wholesaler and wasn't necessarily grown with love, it was mass produced. Well, that nourishment that you get from your plants compared to the ones you buy third party is night and day. And so all of us are going through that change right now, because you're going to be able to feel it instead of all of these things here are alive. Everything here is alive. And that's what we're learning about. Forgive me if I got off track a little bit there, but so where am I going to put, if that's the most important thing to sustain us, I would say that the most important thing is a well. Well, I live in the city. Okay, whatever. If you choose to live in, you know, dense areas, I don't expect a lot of changes to happen if you're going to live in a dense area, as an example. But it's really up to us to make our choices with this means of exchange. And so I've always said, I believe I'm consistent, you should be buying seeds and go get, you know, these micro farm kits. They're incredibly valuable. They can keep you alive for a year, family of four. it's just really important that we see that the tangible items that are the most valuable are things you can touch, you can use to sustain you. So silver and gold, of course, I'm a very huge fan of. Comes from the earth. You can touch it. It's real. I can go to the neighbor and say, this is worth something. Mm-hmm. But your U.S. dollar is worthless, so you can't even measure silver and gold now. So how are you going to measure it? So that's what you're watching happen to your planet, is you can't even measure. So if the U.S. dollar is broke and everyone's using that as a means system, measurement system, then how do you actually tell me that silver and gold is worth anything?
Yeah.
Tell me what it's worth. Okay. It's not worth anything. So for me, anything you can touch is the best place to put your money.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I think it's silver and gold, folks. That's the answer.
If you can touch it, you can smell it, you can see it. I can go to the neighbor. I can bribe the guards at the border, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going through that transition now. It's getting obvious.
Okay. So the other, in terms of transitioning, I know at some point, a few years ago, we were informed that, don't work with the big corporate banks, but at least go to something like an independent bank or a credit union, because they're the local people that you can support at this transition that will be helpful for everyone. So that's, I think, probably the best route. And then, so hopefully that might help. But in the meantime, October 30th, apparently, she was saying that there's apparently the rumor that there's going to be a midnight blackout. So no internet and no airline services. Do you concur?
I'm not going to concur because I don't want to install timelines.
Gotcha. All right.
But there is a couple agendas, good and bad. You're warm.
Okay. We're warm. You're warm. Okay. All right. And then I know that you've already spoken about, growing your own gardens and, really, because, especially those that are listening to these calls and understand who we really are. We're a physical body, but we're not really physical. We're really it's the spirit within the bodies. That's who we really are in essence. But over the next, yes, come here.
Forgive me. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, please.
It's not that. So I'll speak to other planets and its relationship to banking. It's not that banking is all that bad. It's the way it's structured here. So it's not very fair. So apparently there's some FICO guy that's going to tell you how much money you can borrow, and then the bank takes the money your neighbor's putting in the bank and then loans it to you, and now you have a debt circle. Well, and so the metrics are broken right off the get-go because it's all debt. So every dollar you spend is debt, and it's from someone else. And so a proper banking system would be that everybody is paid an allotment of money based on their output and or deliverables. And so you asked, we're going to a trade and barter system. Well, that is trade and bartering.
Yeah, exactly.
So pretty soon, you're going to go from here to, I believe I told this to Charlie Ward, pretty soon you just love making boots. You don't care where the customer comes from, you just love making boots. And all of a sudden the guy shows up, this is synchronicity, he wants four pairs of your boots. Mm-hmm. And you're just excited about making boots. So the more we focus on what we really get excited about, everything else falls into play, and this is how ascension works. Is we quit using the mind to make our decisions. We use our heart and our passion to do so. So I'm a little confused by your opening statements today on the show, but people who use their heart don't have judgment. They don't have a relationship to titles. So anybody that says you are something, then you'll notice yeah. that they live in the past, and that's mind energy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
regardless
thank
of
you
the
so
issue.
Much. I really appreciate you bringing that up. And it just kind of came like out of nowhere, right? And it was like, oh my gosh, you know, you can't put all of the people that we love, you can't put them down. And then it absolutely is judgment. So what would I do? And it's like, you know, so I got caught right there, guys. So it's really all about the heart. And if it's coming from my heart, I would just send those guys love, or that whoever it is, just send them love. So I apologize.
Yeah. And then this is how the dark do abduct us. Unfortunately they want the past to be the future. So as long as there's more drama here for us, that's what they're getting. They don't even care what the drama is. They don't care if it's politics. They don't care if it's money. As long as you're not creating, that's how the dark works. And the dark is very good at infiltrating lots of people who work with their mind exclusively through controlling the outcomes of their reality. The dark works very good at controlling meditation, and that's why there's such a big push to get you to meditate and get outside your body, get outside yourself, and so forth. And I know you guys have talked about it extensively, but that's how I see it in a nutshell, at least in the English language.
Well, thank you so much, Q. I got caught, guys. But thank you, Q, for bringing that up. Yeah, I'm back in my heart now. All right.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. I don't get me wrong. It's just if we slow things down and just watch our mind think instead of be our mind. That's my suggestion for everyone. And that's what we're like when we're not in these bodies. Everything's just so fluent, so easy for us because we only live from the heart. We never even observe the past. I hope that helps.
Oh, absolutely. So that was a huge lesson for me right here on the BBS call, and hope, and you know, for everyone else that was listening. So thank you very much for that, Q. All right, let's go on to a couple of things, and then I have a couple of other questions also coming from people. One of the things that I would like to talk about, since you were talking about children earlier, is, you know, Halloween is coming up for the vast majority of people, especially in the United States. Outside of the United States, I don't think they're thinking about Halloween at all. They may be thinking about Thanksgiving coming up, or maybe their Christmas or whatever religious celebrations they have, but not Halloween. Halloween, tell us a little bit how Halloween even got here. And what is your understanding, perspective, and insight into how that should be celebrated, or even if it should be celebrated? So, Q?
Sounds easy. The much of the magic on this planet is of course hidden right in plain sight. And so Halloween, of course, wasn't always what it is today. Now you have skeletons in people's yards and tombstones. And let's see, what's my favorite Halloween story to get everybody woken up? I believe it was Oregon. There's a lady that opened up one of her styrofoam tombstones she's going to put in the yard, and there was a letter in there from a work slave in China saying, "Help us, free us. We've been in prison since we were children making Halloween costumes or decorations." And that is a true story. And a lot of that's been shut down. But the entrapment with Halloween for me now is the symbolism of creating. It was a stair-step program to get you, say, used to zombies, scary things. You gotta remember, these guys are always about 20 years ahead of the molding of a society. So if I can get everyone to dress up one day a year as a monster, and then have a zombie apocalypse fairs a couple times a year. What if I could get him to do it all year long? But what could I do? What could I do to get everyone dressed up in something they're not, outside themselves, being something they're not? And so when we get kids out there wanting to be Little Red Riding Hood, doesn't matter what it is, it's getting them to be something they're not and pretending to be something they're not. Mm-hmm. And that's really the crux of what Halloween is now. And So
you're not a proponent, obviously.
I'm sorry?
You're not a proponent of it.
No, it is. Now, at the same time, look how much fun everyone is having promoting it. It's well done, isn't it?
Yep.
Well done. And look how much, now look at the commerce that's created from it. The stores are full of garbage.
Yeah.
So you'll always see a big trail with these presumed holidays, and notice the one common denominator is they have time related to them. So most of the aliens like these little events so that you get excited about the next day and the next day, and that's when they do most of their abductions. So if I can get you to be a wicked witch with a big pointy hat, and you know, the excitement before Halloween, the excitement after, et cetera, and then I can get them to eat a bunch of corn syrup for the next 3 weeks because they all got the XYZ bar. That's all it is right now. What if you could go to your house? What if you could go to your neighbor's house, let's say 200 years ago, and say, hey, we're short some corn today, and I notice you have a big cornfield. Can I get about 10 bags of corn from you so I can get through the month here? And by the way, I do horseshoes. I change horseshoes out on horses. So Halloween stole that, basically. The free trade and barter system to be one with your neighbor. And so in addition to all of what I just said, what if now you could have separation from your neighbors? So for me, Halloween is separation from your neighbors. And when you went to the door, you'd be dressed up as something you're not. So that's where I'm at with Halloween.
Okay. All right, everybody. I think that as we're bringing this up, I mean, I would have never even thought, you know, years ago that this was something that we shouldn't even do, because the kids, you know, I mean, it's the whole school. It's everybody goes to school and you got to wear your costumes, and it's played out so well for so many years. And in particular, in the United States. See, so how did that happen here in the United States, I guess, is the other question. How did that happen here? Why here? Why not in, you know, anywhere else? But it's so focused here in the United States. Why are we so focused?
you can actually look around in large municipalities, state of blankety blank, healthcare group, governance. A lot of these adults now are wearing costumes to work. So you're seeing the transition now we have decades of Halloween now, which isn't a very old holiday, by the way. Now you have people indoctrinated into Halloween, going to work, running your government dressed up as whatever, thinking this is some kind of valuable celebration when, you know, the winter solstice is being taken over. You know, the beauty of the transitions of seasons is being undermined.
That's true. Very true. Okay. All right. So that is a scoop on Halloween, everyone. Go back to who you truly are. That is not, well, I'm here we go again.
But Jane, I love chocolates. Now what? Come on. Can I just get a little chocolate?
You could. Yeah, but outside of this Halloween stuff, we'll give you a little chocolate cue. All right. Well, since we're talking about things like that that are part of this 3D, and we're moving away from that, there is another question kind of aligned to it. And here's the question. Let me just go ahead and pull it up because it was a little bit long, but I do have that information here. Hold on one second. Let me get her. Very interesting topics that we are talking about today. Here's a question cue for you. This is according to Ron A. The emotional bodies of people that passed or ghosts sometimes can attach to a person and live off that person's life force to experience again, thereby undermining or overtaking that person's own experiences. Why are these entities not going back to the earth spirit that created them? Won't their non-existence here on this planet help in the ascension, especially for those that are not yet awake? Is there a way we can help them move on?
Okay, cool question. So the model that was given is incomplete, but strong for me in the relationship to what they're calling a ghost can do and or a spirit that's still here. So I'll make it a little simpler from my point of view, if you don't mind, and that is if I was to standardize why you have spirits mingling around with you still from your past relationships, is many of them can see the confusion when they leave the body, and so there's enough spirits that can't get out of the trap here, and they're smart enough to know, okay, if I go that way, I'm going to get recycled back into the karmic reincarnation system. Mm-hmm. And the others have an ability to still be in our presence and not have too bad of a life, but they're not participating. They're only participating with, say, lower frequencies, mid frequencies. We can have a conversation about this all day. So for me, the courting of what I believe they're calling a ghost or a spirit still here in our realm is what they're explaining is why are they able to court us? I get these calls all the time is, I miss mom and I want to talk to her. Can we talk to her on the other side? I go, yeah, all day long, but why? Why don't you teach her to get out here? And or go through the reincarnation cycle again. Mm-hmm. So I assure you that I have many relationships here that have come and gone several times. And so, you've had many people on the call that on your radio shows. I can tell you that my great aunt died in the early 80s, and I talked to her a year ago. She's in a different body. So we have the ability to recycle back into physicality, or we can just leave. And so a lot of people, when they call me, they say, hey, is that superstar still here? And, you know, it's 50-50 if they are or not. And I say, you know, they just understood how to go to the higher frequencies and or go to their home planet or go somewhere else. And we all have these abilities too. So I hope that helps.
I hope that helps. I mean, for the person that, yes, that, well, that does help. All right. Well, I got a question for you in regards to what we were just talking about in regards to Halloween. Obviously, how they say in Europe, obviously Halloween is really big in Europe. And during this time, the so-called fun, there is the suffering of children. Suffering of children in satanic abuse at this time. May we be sending out the love and violet flame, maybe especially during these times instead. Well, yeah, that's positive. So that's just FYI for people to know also the other side of it. So next call is Next question. Here's a good one. Q, does having patience, is that coming from the mind or the heart?
You broke up there. Can you say one more time?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So the question coming from this individual is, does having patience, does that come from the mind or the heart? And then goes on to say that the AI is very patient.
Yeah, that's a really fun one. That's someone really working hard there. Love it. Okay, so what would we define as patience?
Well, another word for patience is just waiting. Somebody who can be patient, just waits, is...
So not making a decision is still making a decision.
True.
Okay, so I'm really excited to... And then if it doesn't fall into that bailiwick, then it's mind energy. So I'm patient because those people are destroying my house and I'm not attacking them. Well, does it excite you to go fight people tearing down your house? Not really. No. So I'm a little flip with the English language because it is misdirection. So I'm always going to favor, if you're really excited about doing something, go, man, go. That's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Very good, Q. Thank you for that. All right. Now, here's another question, and this has to do with Catholicism. All right. I guess we're going to go there. And let me go ahead.
It'd be an easy answer.
Well, listen to the question. Okay, hold on.
Okay, let me get my Bible out.
Let me go find her. I thought that this will be interesting. Well, it's interesting for everyone anyways to kind of see where people's thoughts are at. All right, so here's the question for Q. That was a different one, which you already had. Oh, just a second. We're getting there now. It's hard, you guys, you know, when you're asking a question. Of course, that is what I asked for everyone to do also, is to text it rather than to email it, because I get so much all kinds of advertisings, et cetera, on the call. So let me just be a little bit patient here, because I know that she, oh, for goodness sakes. All right. Well, listen, let's just go. We'll continue while I go ahead and, maybe while I'm looking for it, Q, if you will, you know, just coming from yesterday, you know, where you were talking about, we need to, you know, really connect more with the spirit that we are in making the right decision. So when someone is having difficulty, you know, being stuck in, you know, the past and can't seem to move forward. So we'll take a look at relationships. That's a good question. That's a good thing, because a lot of us have gone through relationships, let's say, whether they're friends or people that you've had a real close relationship to. And all of a sudden, you know, you want to go forward, but you know, this person's energy is still around. And I know you talked already a little bit about the courting, but how can we move forward if we feel stuck, whatever it is that we're stuck in? You know, I'm stuck in my house and I'd like to really move to, you know, I'd like to be able to move to Hawaii, for example, but, you know, I got my family here. I just don't know whether or not I should go forward or I should just kind of stay here. And if you can explain a little bit about the cross, the T, and then, you know, you tell people to just put the L here and the R here or whatever. Maybe explain that in regards to how people can make the right decision for themselves to move in the right direction, which is the forward instead of looking back.
Yeah. It's really fun for me to break it up. A couple things, and this will be a little bit redundant for a lot of the folks that probably listen to me too much and or have called in, but it is a valuable tool. When we work to get the secret space soldiers' memories back, this is the same tool. So you got to remember that when we work with really traumatic events with people, so obviously, myself included, when you see the slaughtering of humanity, it's hard to get it out of you. And we're designed to remember everything and so forth and so forth. And so most of the teachings I have, for lack, I'm not comfortable with that word, but the one thing you can do is start working with your relationship to thought and how you interact with thought. And you'll find that there's a common denominator. This is one of many tools, but this is the simplest tool you can do to make your life incredible. Get a spiral ring notebook blank, you get 100 pages or whatever it has. And on the first page, you make a T on the entire page. So one line down the middle of the page, cross the top of it. On the left side of the T, under on the bar on top, you'll find familiarity with Stuart Swerdlow's work here too, by the way. On the left side of the T, you're going to put everything you don't prefer in your life. Get that list filled up. And on the right side of the T, put everything you want in your life. I'm sure there's plenty of psychologists cringing now, of course, like, you stole that from us. All right, anyway, so on the right side of the T, we're going to label that capital F. On the left side of the T, the capital P. So we got a capital P on the left side. We got a capital F on the right side. And in the middle of the T, you're going to put a big, giant N, neutral. Right side of the T is future. Left side of the T is past. Now, you can do this every day, every week, whatever you want. The more you focus on what you want in the future, it's actually going to show up. Because we assume the future is going to be based on only your highest excitement, only things that inspire you. That's it. It has to be inspiring. So getting a brand new house is not inspiration. Loving to do what you do every day is inspiration, as an example. And if you're not in an inspired state of being, then you should always be in neutrality. You shouldn't be thinking about the past and things that have already happened. Okay, now you can do this with individual events in your life. So you could actually make your tea about your relationship with your wife. You could make your tea about your relationship with the government. You could make your tea about relationship with your children. It can be incremental or it can be vast. I expect you to do it with your vast as possible. And I guarantee you, so this is your logbook for what you're actually doing day in and day out. So tomorrow you may make another tea, and the next day and the next day, 30 days later, look at the first tea and look at the last tea. And I guarantee you the left side of your tea is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So I hope that helps.
Yes. Very good. Thank you for that, Q. Because a lot of people have, you know, questions in regards to, you know, they feel like they're kind of in conflict with whatever decisions they're making. And so I think that's really inspirational, at least to do it that way. It'll help to guide them. And it doesn't only help to guide them in regards to, you know, letting the past go and looking forward, but it's really becoming more of who we are as the spirit beings that we are, and that we are the creators of this reality. That's the other thing that you had mentioned before. You know, if you open the door, you know, and you look backwards, what is there? If you open the door and you're going forwards, what is there? And and going forward, you know, what is it that you're creating for yourself? The more you empower yourself in a forward direction in terms of, like, even now, you know, let's take a look at Halloween now, you know, versus how we looked at it in the past. Forget about the past. How do we want to look at Halloween in our future? Or do we even want to go that route. Let's change it to a different word. Let's talk about, you know, the harvest or whatever word that equates to something even more more in terms of who we are, you know, because we are nature and we are here to be able to harvest. We are here to be able to plant the new seeds for spring, et cetera. So it's a whole way. And this is what's really happening now. And Q is really our transition specialist in regarding our thought patterns. He can see, and he brought that up with me today, you know, in terms of, oh my gosh, why would I be saying that about that? Why am I focusing on the negativity instead of the positive thoughts? Right. And the more you can catch yourself, just like Q caught me, help each other to do that. Let's not focus on that. Let's just go focus on everything that is really alive and exciting and present. So I think I found the question for you, Q. So on a different topic again, guys. So here's another question. And I have always heard that the Roman Catholic Vatican II Mass is a memorial tribute to the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, and that the attendees are offering themselves along with Jesus to God. Are the mass attendees participating in anything evil or satanic or in counter to the will of God? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, I don't even get it. So can you answer that, Q?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't quite understand the... I think I can fill in the gaps here. So first of all formal religions for me are constructs of getting you to believe in something outside yourself. And so we want to take great care here, because beautiful people believe in things outside. They're really good people, and they pray to an altar, they pray to a statue, they pray to another individual. I'll only give this as a suggestion of advice. I remember what it's like to be here 2,000 years ago, and my messaging has never changed, and it didn't change 4,000 years ago, and it didn't change 6,000 years ago. It's the same thing every time. To the degree in which we've been undermined in density, is a very dense human, is where we forgot to go within. We've been taught to not go within. We're thinking backwards. We're not using our heart and consciousness, which has all knowledge of all the universes. All that ever will be comes from your heart. And the more you use it, the more you'll be incredibly, shockingly intelligent. And so if we're going to pray to something outside of ourselves, you're going to be prey. That's why you got steeples on your buildings. That's why you have 2,600 different Bibles. There's another story. Which one's right, please? The most popular one, I guess. So I'll leave it at that. The only Bible you need is yours, and it's go within.
So talking a little bit more about that, and I know this could be redundant, but so with that being the case, and we understand that, and that's why also so many of our friends and relatives, you know, that completely are still where they are, whether they're Catholic or whether, you know, they're Muslim or et cetera, you know, that's where they're at. So how do we, I guess, you know, how do we slowly, gradually, I mean, even, or do we even try to help them to understand differently?
To be okay. More open? So, you know, walking the talk is my opinion. Yeah. So how come things go, how come you're always really happy? As an example.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just always happy because it's the experiences that I've gone through already done, and my state of being is up to me. And I don't need someone to tell me how I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do, judgment, etc. So why don't I, if circumstances are going to happen here, because we're living with a very diverse crowd, will say, out of respect and appreciation, then you still get to watch the circumstances, but your state of being is always going to be yours. And so that right. proves to you that there's not one book that says that to you. And you know, we need to take great care of that. Is, okay, so how come these books don't talk like that? Why is there always another rule in the rule out? Why is there, why is someone smarter than me? Well, they're not. Yeah. I hope that helps.
Yes, that helps beautifully. Thank you, Kim. On another topic, I have a question since we were talking about magic earlier. You know, so, and with the process and the progression of our moving into higher frequencies and awakening more and more, the question comes up in regards to even the transformation that's happening here on the planet right now. So we always talk about the dark energies. You can call them cabal, you can call them whatever, right? And we want to be able to remove them from our existence, right? And we don't want to kill them. We just want to have them removed so they go back to source or wherever they need to go in order to continue their journey to in their own evolution. But I don't want to call it a timeline, but when does one, if you are the light or we are the light, when does one say it's okay to intervene now? So my example, here's the example. So we should not have ever had Nagasaki. We should have never had any nuclear events occur. So we have, you know, the light, we have source, we have all the beautiful galactics, and they saw that coming and they let it happen and millions of people died. Millions of people have suffered. Now, 9/11 is another situation, or the wars were all different situations that came and went. And in all that time, we, because we're always one, have seen that move forward. Now we're at another transition period where we are being corrupted, and we see that exposed now. So at what point, where does that fine line come into play where, okay, we are now going to alleviate the dark because we have X amount of people now that are more of the light, and now it's okay to be able to get rid of the dark? I mean, I don't know where I'm going with that, but do you understand what I'm saying, Q, in terms of it's time to intervene? You know, if we have a meteor coming onto Earth, and if that meteor hit the Earth, you know, we'd be completely demolished. Forget about ascension, we're gone. But we had intervention that occurred. So now we're at this point. So the rest is, so tell us more, Q.
Well, this is an easy one, huh?
Oh, okay. Make it
easier. It's really fun to hear you, you know, sort this information out. And it's just amazing to listen to you. Because you got into the weeds the way, you know, we're all thirsty for. And so, you know, I'm very proud to know you, and thank you so much. When I participate with the Galactic Federation, the council meetings, the working through the creation lightship process and so forth, it doesn't look the way you describe it. Oh. And I'll tell you why. From your point of view, we don't have an opinion on right or wrong. So when we look at the vastness of the universe and the vastness of population in the multiverse, if you could see it from the 30,000 foot level, you'd say there is no right or wrong. And in most of the times I get in this conversation on this planet, people say, well, they hurt me. Okay, well, then why do you hang out there? Why do you do that? I had no choice. Well, at the end of the day, everyone has a choice. And everyone here is overqualified to solve the problem, if there is a problem. And so the embellishment of problems is a great goal by duality here, to keep imposing duality And that would be the very phone you're looking at, the very computer you're looking at, focusing on the past. Okay, so we just did the T exercise. Any time we can get you to stay in the past, the dark really likes it. If you're not creating, then they're happy. So when we look at Earth, we'll use Earth as an example, and many other planets around here, Earth is a planet of duality, yin and yang, whatever you like. So you got pulled by the dark today when you started your radio show. The dark attacked you, and you attacked back. You fell into the trap perfectly. You weren't creating. You were reacting. Okay, so that's the way we look at it, whether I'm working with the Galactic Federation, the Council. I only participate with two councils currently, but when we see ourselves from afar, that's all of us, everyone, we actually look like we got this no problem when we get down there. We're just going to clean. This planet was always Club Med for us. This is a resort planet. By the light. This is a light planet, and it's been taken over by the dark. And the way they've done it is to grow duality so slowly you don't see duality growing. And then we reinforce it and re-energize it, and now you have a human that's been developed over eons of time to be controlled. And so what you asked me is translated like this. Why are we living in chaos and duality when someone else could help me? There's this other force out there. God wouldn't let this happen. Well, you're God. So when you come into existence, into the multiverse, you are neutral. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's no such thing as you can't do anything. Free will is absolutely incomplete statement to free will. There's not one thing you can't do and explore in the multiverse. And it's up to you to make your own situation the way you want it, because you're actually creating micro universes within your universe on a planet that is also creating a universe. Hope that makes sense.
Thank you again for that, Q. Thank you for bringing that up again. Thank you. I guess I really, as much as I say, oh yeah, we can all go, we can always move forward, you know, just be in excitement and be the joy, et cetera. But then when you come in conflict with, you know, what's happening around you, it just pulls you right back into this density, of which we're not trying, but making the effort to get away from it or to move from it and go forward into higher frequencies.
So here's source, the light, God's bullets. If you had more of your light in you, you'd be able to make better decisions. That's it.
Yeah, but that's fluctuate. We also fluctuate. So, but the more we don't fluctuate and stay in neutrality and more positivity, then we're good. We get better and better and higher, right? Okay. All right, so most of the people that are on our calls, we are, you know, transitioning in our own individual ways to higher frequencies and more happiness and joy in our hearts with everyone. And that's a big transition, especially when we have been in duality for eons of time. So again, it's all about training. It is a training, right, Q? Training our heart, mind, our understanding. Training is, I think, really we are in this transition. It's all about retraining or reprogramming and understanding who we really are in essence. So tell us a little bit about us. And how do we compare? I don't want to say compare, but other worlds have humanoids just like us, right? Is there a transition? Why is it our transition so much more difficult, it seems, than some others who've gone through the same path? Why is that?
Because there are a planet that are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'll answer real quick here.
Okay.
Not slowing down. We don't slow things down.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, I thought that was going to be really funny, but it wasn't. Okay. So actually, this isn't. Yeah, this isn't too bad here in comparison, if we were going to judge this, examine it, whatever words you like. This planet isn't as bad as you think it is, other than splitting atoms. That would be, you know, heavy heartburn for the universe. No one in the universe wants people splitting atoms, okay? It's ridiculous. It doesn't get you anywhere but destroying the universe. So if you're going to blow up atoms, you're going to blow up universes, then we have no place to play. And okay. Everyone that listens to this call, the only reason I'm capable of being here is because you guys create a universe. So I know it's tough to, so I consider you guys all experts, and I'm the greenhorn. I currently have a 3-year-old calling me baby because I haven't been here very long. I don't understand it. This is very, very a unique place in its own, and every place is. So the reason this place is as bad as you think it is there's many planets that go through the ascension cycle or grow out of the restrictions of the brain. It's a million examples, but envision an entire planet that had IQs in the thousands. And they're convinced they're right about absolutely every outcome that they go and participate with. They don't have any need for money. They don't have any need for resources. They have everything they need, but their IQ is through the roof. Now, when you get that smart and you live 500, 600, 700 equivalent Earth years, it's very difficult to say there's a better way of doing things. You're not even close to bringing in the volume of light into your physicality because you're using so much brain power. Mm-hmm. And so you're actually seeing an example of that here on this planet. About less than 1%, there are beings here that have IQs that you can't measure. And so that's the real game here is you're mingling with geniuses that make geniuses look stupid. And they're pretending not to be geniuses. So that's what's really going on here. Take my information or leave it. And what you can do with that now is you can prohibit ascension, can prohibit using the heart mind and implement all sorts of drama here and there. Well, when you have a whole planet full of geniuses that make geniuses look stupid, you can't change their ways. It's very difficult. And so consequently, they never ascend. They never grow their light body. So that's the example I have. And hope it applies to the question.
Want me to give you another example?
This is Zaria. Go ahead, Zaria.
Well, the Earth is the only planet that people live on the surface. Everyone else lives inside the planet, so they don't split the atom because there's no need to. Got it?
This is the...
Yeah, so, that's actually really prominent. The reason you usually live inside your planet and or visit the exterior of your planet is you want to be close. You want to be as close as possible to source. So when you get obviously the Earth is a spirit just like you, and so it's very nurturing and it provides everything you'd ever need, but ultimately, you actually get more of your capacity. And regardless of what type of mammal in you are or being you are, you actually get more of your heart center living close to a heart-centered being, which would be the plant. So for me, most individuals who live inside a planet have far more capability, regardless of what solar system or galaxy, universe. And Zoraya is correct. And this planet was manipulated to make sure we didn't know that living one with another being wouldn't support us, and or Hollow Earth is a very nurturing place, because that's where the soul, spirit, the light resides on your planet.
Okay. Another question is, what is the difference between paradise and heaven? And if there's a difference, what's the difference?
the names?
So she wants to know what the difference is between paradise and heaven. And if there is a difference, what is it?
Your choices.
There you go. That's the answer, guys. Okay. Another question is, we have all kinds of news that's out there, Q, and everybody is saying, that JFK is alive, Princess Di, she never died, she's alive, everybody, so many people are saved, from having had to leave the body. So can you tell us a little bit about those examples? Whether it's JFK Jr. or whether or not it's Princess Di, or whether or not it's Elvis, not Elvis Presley, because Elvis, we know that Elvis Presley is here. Even Shirley Temple or whoever, or Michael Jackson. Can you give us some information in regards to all that?
So I'm an entertainer now. I like this. Yeah, it's fun stuff. I mean, so a lot of people, for me, I like talking about this stuff only so you can see how spirit can bounce around, be very nimble, have inspiring choices. We're a lot denser now, and we used to be able to be a lot more nimble. And here's one example. Jim Morrison, arguably, so Jim Morrison left his body and he became Rush Limbaugh. Okay, now there was a being within Rush Limbaugh that held space and or light combined holding space. Okay, so I'll show you what it looked like for me. So when I came into physicality here, I came into a body that was roughly, 47 years old. So, but in my primary consciousness, I'm only really 5 years old here in 50-year-old body. And this is the abilities we have, is to triangulate and bilocate our light column, our light teams, our family. Everyone has a different term for them. But essentially, you can jump around all you want. And so it's really fun for me to talk about this, because it gives people encouragement. It's like, hey, you live forever, and all these choices are yours. But certainly, some of the prominent people here who have left the planet, who had a choice to stay, are more interesting to me because they were the most powerful. And that would be Robin Williams and Prince. So I was surprised to see they threw in the towel. And I'm all on their team, because I don't blame them a bit, the way they were attacked and stuff. I love the White House prints made, by the way. In any event, the bigger concern is the dark knows how this works. They know that if they can hijack us, we can't jump around as much. And so I want to be reminded of your question again, because I don't have any memory, and so I got a little off track there. My apologies.
No, the question was, we could talk about, let's talk about Robin Williams or Prince, or we can talk about Princess Di, or we can talk about JFK.
So Princess Di was much like me, had a placeholder in another body when she wanted to do her transition. Okay, so it literally looked like for Princess Di, she could be in two bodies at one time. She could be in more. In this case, it was two bodies. Now, the placeholder has the primary, let's say, the primary implementation of spirit in the physical body, and the placeholder removes the volume it has when, so we'll use Princess Di as an example. So when she wanted to go and be more of that person, it displaced the placeholder. So it's very difficult to explain the English language, but essentially, if I could be two people one time, there'd be a primary, so maybe 90% of a light being, and 5% of another light being. And then when you make the transition, you can be 95% of the, whereas you were 5% in the last being. So it's very tricky to explain that you can fractal your light body multiple times, and that's what the aliens are very aware of. They can cut and paste us. We are the power source. We're able to fractal and be in more than one body at one time, not 100% in portions, and still have a placeholder so that we can still do what we want to do, and or in this case, Princess Diana's case, is to get more work done. So Princess Diana is a total ass kicker. And she, the reason I say that is because she went right into the beehive and kicked some ass. And really, the goal there was to change those bloodlines and really make sure everything was exposed that was going on in there. And I'm very passionate about this conversation, of course. But yeah, and so of course, Princess Diana is still here as an example.
Okay. All right. All right. So, so when we're talking about fractionalizing, so you could have two beings, right? So let's just say we could talk about clones also, right? But that's very different as cloning. Cloning is very different because it's just duplicating, you know, the body. Let's just talk about Biden, because everybody's already talked about Biden being cloned several times, or has had a lookalike replacement, right?
He has a lookalike, not a clone.
Okay,
yeah, he's not in the inner circle like you'd think, but the CGI is really valuable for these guys, you know. So, and it's running its course because it's very difficult to find the bad guys who are running the end of the trail with CGI and the news and everything, and so you got to keep them up and running so you can catch them, because they haven't broken any laws.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to catch these guys when they made an infrastructure that makes them innocent, even though they're puppeteering many other organizations. Many governments are run this way. You know, you'll notice the CDC and the World Health Organization don't have authority over the public healthcare systems in many countries and states. They're just a co-administrator, suggester, model. Counselor, they got 1,000 words for it. End of the day, these public health care authorities made their own decisions on the suggestion of, and this is exactly how free will works. I just suggested maybe you should do this. Next thing you know, they're telling everybody to get loaded up full of animal fat and shots or something. You know, so that for me, that's how it works. Is there's always something hiding in compartments. And then we get to sort it out.
Okay. All right. We only have 15 minutes left, so I have a question for you personally. And I mean not personally, but for everyone.
How personal could it be? We've been talking about cloning and aliens. Yeah. So, you know, I can go into great depth about it, and I really don't like talking about it. But at some point, I would like someone to do a documentary with me. And so the underground genetic harvesting and underground cloning systems that I observed, the agenda is far greater than just controlling one government or one world government. I assure you that. They're competing for the ascension cycle for the next round. That's what they're doing.
for the next round.
Yeah, so they missed their mark in 2011, 2012. They missed it. They know they missed it. And now it's a great fight to get us reincarnated back into a body that's even has even lesser capability than this one.
Okay, so what's going to so let me just ask you this. So when this Earth, you know, fully recalibrates, and let's just say it's ascension time. So it does all of that. So is Earth then, is there going to be a new Earth that's then, created to replace this so that the bad guys can continue doing their work, or what happens, I guess?
So you're actually experiencing it in real time right now. So when you make choices to go hang out at the lake with, you know, your loved ones that you just love, and there's no phones and there's no TVs and there's no other decision than just passing me another cup of tea. And then when you go back to work, that's actually a different Earth. And the separation is getting grander and grander and grander. And the best way to measure the delta between the two Earths, for lack of a better term, is to look at your choices in relationship to your friendships. So there's some people that don't like sitting at the lake and drinking tea, but mm-hmm. that's your highest excitement. So I don't like the definition of two Earths per se. I like the definition of your universe is changing because you made choices that are higher frequency. But certainly there's some truth to what you said there. You're just not going to sit on the lower frequency planet when there's a higher frequency planet.
Right. But it's not really a separation.
It is, but remember, it's up to us. So what I'm doing my best not to endorse is you're not going anywhere. You're choosing what you prefer. No one's coming to pick you up and take you on to Wonderland. You are going to choose that.
And that's going to be completely, I mean, it'll still be here because, I mean, that's what we also know, that we're going to be here to do the work.
Where's here?
The here that we've created?
If we both agree that there's no such thing as space or time, then your here is defined by you.
Right. That's true. That's true. But it's a collective also here as well.
Okay. Still think I won.
Yeah, you won. And lastly, okay. Hey, listen, we do have, I here's another good question because it revolves around you. You know, you told us you've had some experiences on the sun and on the moon. Have you told that story already before?
I'm not sure. I've talked to a few people that have those memories, but I guess, you know, the moon's a pretty tough place. I guess the fun side of those stories, for me coming, I had to have a lot of, at least in singularity. When I'm not in singularity, I really don't need any training, so to speak, but getting in singularity is very unique for us. So we're not used to not being able to have all of our collective intelligence, consciousness, whatever word you want there. And so to experience that and observe a society you're going to go live in was very valuable to me. And one of those places was the sun. So living on a high frequency planet, that'd be the sun, and observing another planetary system is just massively valuable for someone who hasn't done it, or at least hasn't done it for quite a while. So when you're on the sun, as an example, you can read the consciousness of every planet in your solar system comprehensively. Not only your consciousness, but there's not one truth you can't see. So as I've said before, there's no way to hide from any piece of information on planet Earth right now. There's no way to tell a lie. There's no way to hide. And that's what's normal for us. And that's how synchronicity usually works. But certainly the sun is so peaceful, it's almost boring. I could never call it boring, but it's just so fabulously with you and combines with you, and it has massive portal technology. So being on the sun and then be able to be over on Orion in 5 seconds or less, it's an unbelievable gift to go and bounce around the other solar systems and galaxies in just a flick of a switch. Mm-hmm. So yes, the sun is not hot. It's cold fusion. And mm-hmm. it is, I would consider it a planet, but there is a lot of transitory individuals there because it works as a gateway for me. You know, that's the best I can do to explain that. I hope that helps.
So are they humanoids or what are they? I mean, what do they look like?
It's vast. I remember when you look at cold fusion, we're actually just an assembly of ourselves in light.
Right.
And I'm not doing it justice by calling it cold fusion, but you have a light body that's grown mm-hmm. this light body so big, its whole goal is to give life to a universe, a solar system. So if you're on a planet that only wants to give life, imagine what that's like. Everywhere you step, you're infused with light.
Mm.
It's magnificent. So you can change your shape, your scale, size, your type of being. Ultimately, you favor a light body that looks mammalian in most cases. In my case, it was because I was preparing to become a human.
Hmm. Oh, really? Why would you go to the sun to prepare to come to Earth?
So each sun has its own frequency and own desires. So it's really a common courtesy. Is it okay to come into the existence here? That was a real conversation with Zora. Is it okay if I come in and support and participate in singularity? And ultimately, we know the answer to that now. Well, that's what you would do with if you want to learn about an entire solar system. You've got to remember, we've got billions and billions and billions of billions of galaxies, let alone planets. So the common way to do it, and the most pertinent way to do it is, I'd like to participate. How do you want to participate? Is how you communicate with a spirit. I just don't know. You don't know what it's like to walk in another man's shoes, so to speak, until you do it. All right, so let's have you out here and let's see how you do and see if you like it. That's pretty much all there is to say.
Interesting.
That's about how it went.
Right. Okay. So let's just talk a little bit, and then we'd love to be able to just kind of summarize and maybe you're a beautiful, we'd love to be able to feel your spirit, your energy as we begin to close our call for today. So any final words, and we could do a beautiful, we would love to, if you will, partake of some of your commands to just kind of help us again until when we meet again on another call. And I just, before I do that, I just wanted to let people know that for all of you people that are healers, we are going to be having a special call next Wednesday with Q. So anyone that is a wannabe healer, all those that are healers that want to come and listen, and anybody else who's would love to be able to listen to another call with Q, I'll give you all of the info by this weekend. It's already Wednesday. I know it's already Saturday, so you'll get all that info probably by Monday. So Q, it's all yours now. Thank you so much for this wonderful call with all of us and all of the questions that you answered. I mean, it was very, very enlightening as always and awakening. And you are definitely our transition specialist. And more so than that, we know that who you are. And we are so ever, ever, ever grateful that you are here with us at this time. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jane. It's a great honor to get to do this. And I just want to reaffirm that we're moving really fast now. And this is a forest fire that's not going to stop. I guarantee you. You can't stop this. That's how powerful we are. And it's up to each and every one of us. We're all accountable for our own transition. There's nobody outside yourself that's going to help you per se. There's a lot of people that want to help you and want to assist you, but ultimately you are source. And your next choice, you will either be of the light and or your heart center, or you'll go into the mind trap. And I know it sounds arrogant and flip, but that's what's going on here. And I love you so much. And I cherish every interaction I have with every one of you who call me and everyone I get to interact with. And so as follows, I command Prime Creator to support and assist us right now. I command Prime Creation to support and assist us right now. I command Prime Creator to give us, all of us now, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, now. And so it will be. Beautiful call today. Thank you, Jane.
Beautiful call. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Q. Thank you, Source. We love you. And Don, as always, we so appreciate you being here for all of us. Thank you, BBS, Don, and Doug. Thank you for this day. Thank you. Good night, all, or good day, and talk to you all next week. All right, bye now.